I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Story.
The Story is produced by North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. It's co-produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Wilton Barnhart is a novelist who moved into a home in Laguna Beach to take up a teaching position at UC Irvine. That fall, the wildfires in Southern California destroyed over 1,000 homes and burned over 190,000 acres. Wilton was new to the area. What sticks in his mind are the days before the fires, the days when he first felt the dry heat of the Santa Ana winds.
It's incredibly dry. I read in the Los Angeles Times that there was 4% humidity the day of the fire. The Mojave Desert has 25% humidity. I mean, it is bone dry. Your eyes are dry. Your nose is dry. Your lips are chapped. It is incredibly dry. And what I guess I never knew until it happened to the house I was living in is these houses that are going up in 5 minutes when the fire approaches them, they have been blasted with this dry heat, you know, for days sometime. And these canyons, these gulfs between the hills, force the wind into a narrow blast, 80, 90 miles per hour, 150 degrees and above. So by the time the fire or a loose cinder floating down gets to the houses, they are ready to go up. And that was what mine was like.
What would be an image that you'd use to describe how the heat affects the homes and the people there?
Well, it is a lot like when you park your car in the blazing sun in a Walmart parking lot. You can barely touch anything. It had been about 2 days of Santa Ana's and then one long day of this incredible hot wind coming out of the canyon, fueled by a fire way back, 8-9 miles back in the canyon. So when I left for work, I figured, you know, that they'll take care of it. The firemen will get it. But that intense heat managed to bring the balcony. I decided I'd take a look at the town. It was one of these wonderful beach apartments that looked out on downtown Laguna, yeah, such as it is, and the ocean. And it was too hot to touch the metal of the sliding glass door. And I even touched the glass, and the glass was hot. When you were outside, it was like someone had opened an oven and you were standing above it, like when you bake a cake. And inside, it was hot and still.
So the fire had started how many miles away from your home?
It was about 8 or 9 miles down the canyon. I watched it on breakfast television. It looked like they had it under control. There was the fire department out there. There was some speculation, laughing speculation. There was some transients with a campfire, but they were going to take care of it.
And what was burning at the time, Wilton? Was it just brush or were there homes that were being threatened then?
Brush. No. It was just brush, yeah, out. And there's a little wilderness tract. And it seemed like no big deal. And certainly more spectacular things were happening in Malibu, which was on fire, too.
You had no thought about going off to the campus that day. You didn't think, oh, maybe I should stick around and see what happens.
No. I had no panic whatsoever. They were talking so confidently on the television about this little fire up the road. They were going to get it. And then sometime around lunchtime, a little after lunch, coming out to one of the clear areas of the campus, of Irvine campus near the library, and I looked up and it was like a volcano had gone off. There were just stacks and stacks of big, puffy, yellow-white clouds, very unnatural-looking, though, above Laguna. And I thought, oh, what's happened over there? And, of course, it didn't take long for me to connect. I thought, oh my goodness, that fire's gone out of control. And I found a break room with a TV on. Everyone was fixed to the TV because many Irvine people lived in Laguna Beach. And I'd already heard that they had blocked off the Pacific Coast Highway, that you couldn't go back. Well, I was going back. I had a novel and a hard drive on a computer, and that was the only copy of it. I remembered, I think it was Maxine Hong Kingston in the Oakland fire in the 80s had lost a book, and I was not going to follow that lead.
But what were you going to do, talk your way through a roadblock on the Pacific Coast Highway? I mean, they weren't going to let you in, were they?
They weren't going to let me in, and they were evacuating people that didn't want to go. I mean, I was watching that on the news, too. But there are alleys and, you know, parallel roads if you come in from the south. So even though Irvine is north of Laguna Beach, I took the long way around to San Juan Capistrano and worked my way up. And it was a giant parking lot, the Pacific Coast Highway. It was absolute madhouse trying to get everybody out of there. So nobody was moving. Emergency vehicles weren't able to get in. The people weren't able to get out. In that kind of confusion, I could elude the police. And I turned in to some of the side alleys and made my way past trash cans and dumpsters back behind houses until I broke out around City Hall and the fire department. And I saw that the fire had come down and was burning, was on its way to the fire department. And I think that's the first time I'd seen flames. And it was the first time I understood the seriousness of it. First of all, I had the windows down in my truck, and it was searing hot. I mean, it was like standing before a fire. And, you know, when you see a fire department about to burn down, you go, okay, that's probably not a good sign for what's to come.
But what about the place that you were staying? How far away were you? Did you, at that point, did you think to yourself, I may not get up there. I may not get to my place.
Well, I could sort of see it. I could, it was prominent up on a hill. I mean, so I could sort of see where it was. And when I parked the car, I looked at the end of the street and the trees and those, I'd say at the very end, one block beyond me, the trees were starting to go. Those big shaggy eucalyptuses were doing wonders spreading the fire. They're like a torch that immediately flew all the little pieces and fronds, flew out into the wind and landed on other houses. And on the very corner of the, I'm about three houses before the next street, and on that corner of that street, I saw a guy on his roof with his garden hose. And I think he'd gotten every kind of absorbent cloth, blankets, sleeping bags, towels, beach towels, and he had put them on his roof, and he was watering it down, standing on his roof, while there was this wall of flame coming in from the canyon behind him.
I see that now, Wilton. I see that in the fires in California today, and I don't know what to make sense of it. I can't imagine myself there, and you're standing there a block away from flames watching a guy do this. What are you thinking, that he's a madman?
No, I actually, you know, he was my hero for the moment. I thought, that's right. Don't let it take an inch.
Yeah.
I think when the flames themselves come to your house, you're done, because as I said, it's so dry.
Yeah.
It's so, you're kindling by the time the flames come. What he was guarding against was this rain of cinders that's coming down at all times. They were on my porch too. They were in the street. They were on my car.
That's, are they burning? Kind of, are they red? Are they black and,
yeah,
glowing? What,
yeah,
do you see?
That's right. No, they're like little, like when you have a campfire, little, yeah, coals, you know. And remember, the wind is a constant. It's just never stopping. It's gusting 70, 80 miles per hour.
So you step out of your truck and you think to yourself at this point, you see this scene around you. You have how long in your house before you've got to be back in your truck and out of there? What do you reckon?
Like I'm some kind of expert. I tell myself, all right, 10 minutes tops. So I go inside, and I'm again aware the doorknob, the railing up to the first floor apartment, everything is hot. And I go inside, and I get my hard drive, and I figure, well, if I get nothing else, I've at least saved that. And the fire wasn't any further than it was. So I said, well, let's go back for a little more. So I go in, and I have yet to actually recover from the disorganization that this occasioned, but I took these big lawn-sized trash bags and I swept things off tables into, you know, here are the letters, here's all the photos, here's the negatives, and I was, everything dumped into these bags. And then I got two or three of those bags down, and then I thought, oh, I could maybe one more time. So I go up again, and at this point, I had some strange thoughts. You have really strange thoughts when you're doing this. One is, I wasn't scared, but I had a healthy respect for what was going on. Let's put it that way. I was aware that people doing dumb stuff like I was doing had burned up and died in other similar circumstances. And I thought about, well, you could save clothes, or what about all your books? Because I go everywhere with boxes and boxes of books. And I thought, you know, this, I'm going to let nature decide about my books. I'm so tired of carrying around all these books. Maybe this will solve that problem for me. And I remember there was this, there's this polar bear, stuffed polar bear, staring at me. And I thought, no, you'll get to live. And I don't know why I carried that out as the last thing, but I think I wanted to feel like I had a choice. Like, some things were going to live and some things were going to burn. And I was going to exercise the choice. I still have the polar bear, which sits in my office.
And so you're standing by the truck and you see after your third trip that the fire is now, what, just a number of houses away?
Yeah, and countable. It's five houses away.
And you decide, I got to go. Do you know that you're going to have a safe trip? Have you picked a route?
Yeah, my sense, I was going to head to the you know, to the barricade I slipped through, they weren't, you know, giving you hassle about leaving.
Yeah, right.
I was trying to come in. That was who they were spending their time stopping. But as it turned out, the Pacific Coast Highway was absolutely a parking lot. And a lot of people had just abandoned their cars. They'd pulled them up on the sidewalk and were sitting and looking because, and this is a strange thing, the sun was beginning to set, a full round red ball to the west, and to the east were these immense 100, 200, 300-foot clouds of smoke and the flames themselves coming out of Laguna, 80 to 100 feet high, these flames.
Had you ever seen anything like that yourself?
I had never seen anything like that. It was apocalyptic. It was what I imagined the end of it all being, you know. And everyone seemed to see it, even people who had a very good suspicion that their homes were gone, were sitting there watching it, sort of mesmerized.
Wilton Barnhart went through his own experience with the California wildfires. I'll talk with him about being a part of that crowd waiting to return and what it's like to be one of them. I'm Dick Gordon from American Public Media. This is The Story. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Story. I'm not sure that most of us have yet got a fix on the scope of the fires and the evacuations in California. Although firefighters say they are making some headway, about a million people were forced to leave their homes. Wilton Barnhart is a novelist who went through this in 1993 when the same kind of wildfires destroyed 1,000 homes. He was living then in Laguna Beach. His home was okay. Fire stopped just a few houses away. Wilton remembers the scene where people stood and waited and watched.
A lot of people had gone to the beach, figuring there's nothing to burn on the beach. And even if by some horror or firestorm the fire did make the beach and found something to consume, they could go into the water. And so there was a sort of a mass gathering along the beach looking back at this spectacle of these mountains on fire. And there was a really unusual ritual going on. People started making their way to convenience stores and sitting down on the, you know, taking off their jackets or something, just sitting on the pavement of the parking lot and talking and waiting in line for the phones. And I thought that they were calling loved ones saying, we're safe, blah, blah, blah. But they were calling their own homes. They were calling their own homes because this was still the 90s and people had, you know, physical answering machines.
Landlines.
And if your answering machine picked up, you see people going, yes, because it meant whatever else had happened. You hadn't, the fire hadn't singed the line or the house, or at least the, you know, I don't know if anyone came home to find the house gone, but the answering machine intact. But that was, it reminded me of that thing in Failsafe, you know, with Henry Fonda, where he's on the phone to Moscow and a nuclear bomb goes off and he gets the noise. I guess when people received a phone message that this line is no longer in service or something, then they had something to worry about.
So tell me something, Wilton. In grabbing this silly polar bear and unanswered letters and bills that were unpaid, did you stay too long? Did you come close?
I guess I had 3 runs up and down the stairs. And then, as it turned out, when I got to Long Beach, the LA Times had a fairly specific graphic in the paper the next day. It was the whole top of the banner, Laguna Beach in flames. And they had a map of the affected burned areas, and it showed my block was gone. But surprise, surprise.
You went back and your house was still standing as others were on that street.
Right. There was a great cleaning challenge for everybody because it was pretty sooted and ashed up, like the inside of an ashtray. But I guess that's a very small price to pay, given the what could have happened.
So having experienced that kind of frantic evacuation and gathering together of goods that we're seeing on such a massive scale in California now, when you look at it on television, as so many of the rest of us do, do you see something different from having experienced yourself?
It's a terrible rerun. I see the same kind of gallows humor, the same kind of laid-back California shrugging that you see after earthquakes and mudslides. And by the way, Dick, that's the sequel to all this. The vegetation that's burning off now is holding these hills together. And yeah, when the rains do come, whoever made it through the fire will then watch their house go down. I think you have to have a high dose of fatalism for Southern California. I think you also, with the earthquakes and the fault lines as well.
And when you look at the scale of the fire that we're looking at now, I mean, it sounds very much like what you were experiencing up close.
I think probably this is a conflagration unprecedented, probably in a metro area. And I wonder if we'll ever see anything quite like this again. And what it seems to me, some kind of solution might have to be come up with, some kind of massive separation of nature from these urban areas. Because Southern California, this is part of the natural process. The pines regenerate by fire. The grass regenerates by fire. This is how these fires happened long before there was a metro area. And this is what happens here. So maybe, I don't know, I don't think we'll stop building things back any more than we, you know, keep building beach houses in hurricane zones. I'm sort of cynical about that.
Well, cynical or fatalistic to the point where you say, you know, you want a beach house in Florida or South or North Carolina, build one. Just get ready for the hurricane. You want to live in the canyons of California? Fine. Just know that the fires will come at some point.
No, it's coming. No, it's inevitable.
I mean, has that kind of fatalism in your own attitude been in some way touched or changed by your own experience?
Well, I have been a lifelong renter until recently, and I think that's one of the reasons. I thought there's no point buying property in California. It's either going to get shaken to the ground, or it's going to slide down a mountainside, or swallowed into a sinkhole, or burned, you know. So it seemed to me that was at least one too many threats there in order to buy property.
Let somebody else own it. You'll just live there for a while.
I'll be happy to rent a beachfront apartment and pay you what you want. But then I get to, pack up quickly and leave when trouble comes.
Wilton Barnhart is a novelist. He was recalling the days when he took his turn waiting out the California wildfires.